Welcome to the Bedford First Assembly of God podcast. We hope you enjoy this week's message. We'd love to hear what God is doing through this ministry. If you have a story to share, send us an email at connect@bedfordfirstag.org. Also, feel free to visit our website at bedfordfirstag.org. You can view the live stream of our services and find out more about our church. Thanks for listening.
Take your Bibles, if you would, please, and turn to the 12th chapter of John's Gospel. For those of you that are not fluent in the books of the Bible, that's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and then John. And go to the 12th chapter. And we're going to start at the 12th verse. If you'll read along with me, it'll help you to get it into your heart and minds. The next day, the great crowd that had come for the festival heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel." Jesus found a young donkey and said on it, as it is written, "Do not be afraid, daughter of Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt." At first, his disciples did not understand all this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him and that these things had been done to him. Now the crowd that was with him when he had called Lazarus from the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to spread the word. Many people, because they had heard that he had performed this sign, went out to meet him. So the Pharisees said to one another, "See, this is getting us nowhere. Look how the whole world has gone after him." Lord, may your blessings be upon your word today. May all of your desires, your will, your purposes be met in all of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now, as I was reading, I flipped it. Those of you that are new to the congregation, the whole PowerPoint thing is new to me, so I just warned you in advance. Things happen. Weird things happen. This morning we're going to talk about perspectives on the triumphant entry of Jesus. How many of you know the story of Palm Sunday? Come on, let me see. Do you? Okay, so we're going to spend more time kind of implanting this and seeing how it affected the lives of those that were present then, and also maybe a little bit of reflection upon our own life as we go along. Rather than looking at the individual pieces of Palm Sunday, reflect on those yourself as we move through this morning. Have you ever noticed how things look different when you look back on them? As I mentioned, Jill showed me a picture of little Cooper when I was dedicating him to the Lord, and he was so very tiny, and he fit right in, snuggled in. Sometimes I try to think back of our three children. The oldest, I think, is 45, Sharon, something like that, yeah. And I can barely remember. I realized that most of my thoughts of him as a baby, now Sharon's not this way, this is just me, okay? But my thoughts of him as a baby center around pictures that we have that I fall upon occasionally. Because actual images in my mind are kind of skewed. You see, I remember myself to be a much better athlete than what I was. Now I admitted something there. They never called me up and wanted me to go anywhere with my athletics. I actually remember being better looking. It's true. I know it's hard for you, but it's true. Friedrich Nietzsche wrote, "The advantage of having a bad memory is that several times over, one enjoys the same good things for the first time." Yeah, those of you that are young, you'll get it. You'll understand it. Bertrand Russell wrote, "The truth is, and it's merciful, that in memory, humiliation and failures tend to vanish and successes are magnified." You kind of remember them, but the failures are just tucked away back there somewhere. Perspective in spiritual things is incredibly important. And I believe that and I realized in one message that there's no way that I can really do this justice, but we're going to try this morning to at least sow some seed. If you can always keep in mind that perspective can hold you back spiritually, can keep you from realizing all of what God would desire for you to realize. Perspective, and I think I may have a slide here, yes. The interrelation in which a subject or its parts are mentally viewed. The capacity to view things in their true relation or relative importance, and the appearance to the eye of objects in respect to their relative distance and position. Now, I realize right at this point, these are basically just words. But I'm hoping this morning that as we move through this, that these will become more relevant as you see each one of these magnified on Palm Sunday, the first Palm Sunday. There is a story that I'm sure many of you are familiar with that I want to run parallel to this, and it's found in Numbers chapter 13. It's when Israel came up to the Holy Land, the promised land of God, and they decided to send in 12 spies. How many remember that story? You probably then remember the end of it. And that was that 10 of them came back with a bad report, and 2 of them came back and said, "Come on, let's go." They all went and saw the same land. They all saw the same things. What was the difference? Perspective. Perspective is the interrelation, or it is the confusion that exists when a subject is viewed with other objects. To the 10 spies, they got caught up. They said, "We seem like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we look the same to them." That's all they could see. Giants in the land. You see, the spies were looking at the wrong things when they were sent to spy on the land. They didn't send them to analyze the people. They sent them to go spy out the land. The desire was to see the good that God had promised and where they were heading. Their perspective was skewed by the interrelation of the objects that built faith and those that brought fear. It's easy for us to do. We get caught up in the things that bring us fear, and we miss the things that would bring us blessing. It's true. Many times as we go through adversity and struggle, and we see it coming down the road, you know, we have the introduction of it, whether by a doctor or someone else, our accountant or, well, tax time, maybe your tax person, you know. And it's like, "Oh, no, how is this going to happen? What can I do? What can I do? What I can do?" And fear takes over and anxiety takes over. Sometimes you actually go in, have your taxes done, and you find out things were not as bad as you thought they were. Maybe you even get money back. How many have been there? Your perspective on the front side caused you to worry and fret and carry on. "Oh my goodness, I think we're going to, oh, we got da 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 da." And then you actually go in and you have your taxes done and you come out and it was better than you thought. How many? I would recommend to you be faithful to the Lord, because He has a way of blessing us beyond anything we can imagine. You see, at the triumphant entry, the people were in Jerusalem for the feast of Passover. That was their purpose. They'd come from all over. very good evidence we see from the book of Acts that there were people there from as far away as Rome. That meant that they had to travel for a month by sea and everything. It was a horrible journey in order to be there for the Passover feast. They were there in Jerusalem, an occupied people. They were looking for a power greater than that power or the power that was ruling over them. The crowds that gather brought the hope of freedom. They were looking to a day. They could see the prophetic words of God that he was going to reestablish Israel, and they were taking all of those to heart, and they were looking forward to that, to the Messiah coming and freeing them from Roman rule. They certainly had heard about the resurrection of Lazarus. They speak of that here in this passage. The thought is, if someone can raise the dead, surely he can free a nation. What I want you to see is their entire perspective on that day was to find not a spiritual savior who could take away their sins, but they were looking for a king, a leader who would free them from Rome. The people missed Christ's kingdom because they were stuck in the kingdom of this world. Now, can I tell you this morning, that's not just their problem. I said, that's not just their problem. Being stuck in the kingdom of this world and missing out on the kingdom of God and all the riches of the kingdom of God. He wants to bless those who are in his kingdom. I look at it in this way quite often. We fight against the Lord and his blessings. See, oh, no, I want God's blessing. Well, but you see, you cannot be pursuing and have a kingdom of earth perspective. In other words, that you shape your whole life around this world and expect to know the blessings of God. Because his blessings flow with his kingdom. I'll say it one more time. God's blessings flow with his kingdom. You haven't learned that yet. When we're obedient to him in our finances, he said, give and it shall be given to you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. What shall men give to your bosom? That means that favor will come to you. Blessings of the Lord as we give to him. Now, we're not talking about money, so don't get nervous here. But it's bigger than that. As we give love away, love comes back to us. You don't believe me? Yell and scream at somebody and see what kind of reaction you get from them. Then go to them on another occasion and talk to them softly and gently and see what kind of reaction you get from them. This is the natural law of sowing and reaping, folks. When you and I sow into the kingdom of God, when we have a kingdom perspective in our lives, we get to enjoy the kingdom benefits. When we live after a kingdom of this world perspective, well, you get what the world has to offer. This was incredible this week. As I set working on this message, the gals were all gone, and I was the only one here in the office, and we have a doorbell, for those of you that have come during the day, if the door is locked, then you can ring the bell. And so all of a sudden the bell starts ringing, and it rang and it rang and it rang before I could get all the way from my office to the door. So I actually thought that it was one of our men who characteristically do that whenever they come. Sometimes even though they have a key to the office door, they will still ring the bell. So I was all ready to be thoroughly abused by one of our men. And I came around the corner and here stood a lady that I did not recognize. And she asked if she could come in and talk with me, and I said yes. So we both sat down in the chairs in the front office, and she began to unfold the story of her situation. And the story was that she was unhappy in the place that she was living and wanted to move to Evansville. And I said, well, are you being abused? Are you being forced? No, I'm not. I'm not being forced. She said, I just want to move to Evansville. And she said, I don't have the money, and I was wondering if this church would give me the money to move to Evansville. I shared with her that we have a food pantry, but that is kind of the extent of what we can do. So before I could say anything else, and I kind of have a process in some of those things, she would not have walked away empty-handed had she given me the opportunity, but she stood up and yelled obscenities at me, and some of the nastiest ones you could ever hear, and went through the door and on out and got in her car. Perspective. You pull up in front of a $6 million building, and the anticipation is that there are unlimited dollars and funds to be able to pay for any need that would come into the house. I wish that that were true. But how many of you realize this morning that's not true? I mean, for those of you that are new, we service a $1.9 million indebtedness. We have about 175 people that are showing up on Sunday and about 240 right now that call this their church. We are a miracle every single month. So my saying is, when we look at it at one from one perspective, we think, oh my goodness, look what the Lord is doing. He is allowing us to remain in this building and to meet the budget and to do the things that we need and want to do, keeping up because of his provision. You look at it from her perspective, she came in expecting to get, I don't know, hundreds of dollars to be able to move her family to Evansville from a $6 million building. Perspective. Once again, this is the confusion that exists when a subject is viewed with other objects. We do this all the time spiritually. Sometimes it is as simple as the need or the desires that we have. We do this to God. Our perspective is that he should, because he said that he loved us, that he should give us whatever we want. Come on. When there are times that he knows that what we want are not the best thing for us. Secondly, perspective is the capacity. Look at verse number 16. At first, his disciples did not understand all this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him and that these things had been done to him. Wait. You mean they didn't know what they were doing to him? They did that, but they didn't realize what they were doing to him? Yeah. They fulfilled Scripture and had no idea what they were doing until after he was crucified, put in a tomb, raised from the dead, and ascended into heaven. Many believe that even after, until they were in the upper room, Pentecost, the Spirit of the Lord filled them and guided them into all truth, and then they realized, oh my goodness, we were the ones that fulfilled the word of God, or Zechariah's prophecy. The capacity to view things as to their relative importance. Jesus had the capacity to see and to know exactly what was taking place. He had the capacity to send the disciples to a man's house and ask him for his donkey and colt. He had the capacity to say, when they said, well, what, when he says, what are you going to do? Just tell him I need it. He knew what the Spirit had already been doing. He knew all the preparations that were necessary, and he was moving to fulfill the Scripture. The disciples did not have a clue. They didn't have the capacity to do it. Now, hear me. We need to recognize this at times. We sometimes do not have the capacity to understand all the deep things of the Lord. That is, why are you doing this, God? Why is this happening in my life? Why are you allowing this? Huh? Because, see, the capacity that we have is built upon the knowledge and the understanding that we have. And so then we say to God, well, God, this is the way I see it. I mean, maybe you've been here before. You see the atrocities in the world. You say, how could a loving God let all these atrocities happen? If I were God, I would step in and stop that. I would not allow Russia to do what they're doing to Ukraine. I would not allow all those precious Sudanese children to be killed. I would not. And guess what? You don't have the capacity to understand all that is happening in this world. At its very simplest level, I can tell you why God has not intervened, because when he steps in, he is going to judge, and he is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so he's holding off that day of judgment where he will step in. Why? So that men and women will turn their hearts to him. But honestly, folks, we don't have the capacity to understand that. Because even with that knowledge, we go, but couldn't he? If you haven't learned this yet, God has a capacity greater than your capacity and my capacity. He understands things that we will never understand. But oh, how we fight against him. Not just in a worldwide setting, but in our own lives. When something doesn't unfold the way we think that it should unfold, and we begin to challenge God, many times with tears, sometimes with anger. God, how could you? Why did you? Why are you? The reason? Perspective. We do not have the capacity to understand. Why didn't you, Lord? Why didn't you? But your word says this. We love to throw his words at him. Don't you love it when somebody throws your words at you? Huh? But yet we do it to God all the time, and many times it's because we do not have the proper perspective on his word. Here's an incredible thing, and you'll learn this if you follow after God, that after a period of time you begin to see shadows of truth. You begin to understand as he guides you along the way to say, hold it, he has a bigger picture here. God has a larger understanding here. The disciples were just caught up. They were caught up in the energy of the day. Take off your coat, throw it on the ground. Wow, here comes Jesus. He gets on the colt of a donkey, riding down through there, and the people start shouting, yes, 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 it's coming, it's coming, it's coming. We know that even during Passion Week, that is from Palm Sunday to Easter, Palm Sunday to the crucifixion, even during that week, the disciples were talking to one another, who was the greatest among them? Perspective. They were concerned about who was going to sit on his right hand and who was going to sit on his left hand. And Jesus said to them, can you endure? Can you go through what I'm about to go through? Oh, yes, we can. Yes, certainly, Lord. As soon as they took him off in handcuffs, they ran, hid in the house, and locked the door. I often think of this regarding our day. I truly believe we're living in the day of the Lord. Many folks will confess that. I believe that Jesus is coming back very soon. But there is a dramatic difference between an awareness that something's about to happen and the condition or the perspective that says, I'm getting ready for it. I'm going to do what is necessary in this day because he's coming back. Huge difference. If you have a perspective that Jesus would come this afternoon, how would it change your day? You think about what's on the docket, what's getting ready to happen when we say the amen to this service, the meal is going to take place, the other things that are going to happen throughout this day, things that are that you've already set down on the calendar, things that are all important and everything. But let me ask you, if you really, absolutely, positively knew that this afternoon at 6 o'clock that Jesus was coming back, he's going to break the eastern sky, he's coming back to call his church out of here, how would it change all those plans that you have? Perspective. You see, really, we do not have, this is being honest, we do not have the capacity to really understand what the day of the Lord is going to be like. We have shadows of it. We have pieces of reality. Oh yes, two will be working together in a field. One will be taken and the other one left. Two will be grinded in a mill. One will be taken and the other way. Two will be sleeping in a bed. One will be taken and the other left. We can quote those scriptures. We know them by heart. We understand that. It's going to happen in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. And yet really, honestly, we don't have a capacity to gain a Jesus coming perspective. Because the Jesus coming perspective would say, that's got to be my priority. Leading my loved ones, leading my friends to Jesus, that has to be my priority. Because he may come this afternoon. He may even come at 4 rather than 6. Huh? How many believe this morning that Jesus is coming back? Do you have a second coming perspective? Look at this last one. Thirdly, perspective is in the appearance. The appearance of an object in relation to its distance and its position. In verse 17, the crowd that was with him when he called Lazarus from the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to spread the word. What word? Here's a guy that can raise people from the dead. Come see the guy that can raise people from the dead. You see, it's possible to miss the best when looking right at it. They had Jesus, the Son of God, right in their midst. Right there with them. I have had a longing for all the days of my life to have a vision, a dream of seeing Jesus. They had him right there. They knew what his voice sounded like. I know what the Spirit's voice sounds like within me, but I don't know what the voice of Jesus sounds like. Come on, folks. You see, the disciples and the crowd missed the point. They had Jesus right there with them. They could reach out and touch him. They could ask him anything. Wow. Does that mean anything to you? I mean, can you imagine what that would have been like? The Son of God, the creator of the universe, the Word of God that spoke things into existence was right there with them. They could reach out and touch him. They walked roads with him. You see, the crowd was caught up in the moment. It was a spontaneous thing. They were excited. They were, you can imagine, people came from all over the world to come there for the Passover, and in Jerusalem swelled. Some believe that it was over 1 million people that would gather in there. So the crowd and everything, we've seen what crowds do, right? Around our country, and some not even realizing why they're there. They're just caught up in the moment. They're caught up in the energy of it and all of that. There was a lot of that going on there at this Passover. Hey, the guy that raised the man from the dead. Come, see the man that raised from the dead. Come, see the man who raised him from the dead. Come. Wow, this has got to be spectacular. Come on. Jesus was a happening. me take you back for a moment to the spies. They went into the land looking with human eyes. That was as much as they could see, was human eyes. Joshua and Caleb said, there's more. Their perspective was set upon God. It wasn't about the appearance. It was not what they could see, but it was what they knew that God could do. You see, learning spiritually, church, for us to get beyond what we can see or what we can understand, build a spiritual life that goes beyond your ability to understand. Begin to expect things of God that only God can do. Set a vision before your life that is a vision that only God can fulfill. If your perspective is only what you can see, what you can bring forth, it's okay, but it won't be that exciting. But I guarantee you, if you allow God to put His perspective in you, the things that go beyond appearance. Imagine Joshua. Well, they were ready to stone Joshua and Caleb when they said, we can go in. Many truths of God cannot be understood until after the cross has had an impact upon our lives. I don't mean that you know about the cross. I mean that you have bowed to the cross. You said, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. I need a Savior. Come into my heart. Forgive me of my sins. And be the Lord of my life from this day forward. That's the prayer of faith. That's the prayer that has perspective, that says, I cannot do anything. I cannot be good enough to get into heaven. But I can rely upon Jesus and what He did at the cross. And He will take me in. Now, I would ask you this morning, don't be too critical of the people or the disciples for their lack of understanding. It was based upon their limited perspective. Because those of the crowd and the disciples who stayed with Jesus had a change in their perspective. He took them to the cross, through the empty tomb. They watched Him as He ascended into heaven, and then they obeyed Him when He said, go and wait in Jerusalem until you be filled with power from on high. Next thing you hear is Peter standing up. Peter, who denied Jesus three times. Peter, who had a limited perspective of what he could do, what he could perform, who he could be. Peter stands up on the day of Pentecost, preaches the word, and 3,000 souls come to know the Lord. Acts chapter 4, Peter and John walking into the temple, going in to pray, and they see a lame man sitting there, holds out his cup. Alms, 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 the man says. Peter had a bigger perspective. It wasn't just, okay, where's our change at? Where's the money? Let me give him some money to get moved to Evansville. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And the men have been walking and leaping and praising God. Our perspective, folks, needs worked on. We need to get a God-sided perspective. We need to let Jesus be the master of our life, the Savior of our souls, the King of our lives. He can do more with us in a moment than we can do in a lifetime. Follow Jesus. I think about the disciples. You know, they stopped following Jesus from the garden. Remember that? When they came and took Jesus away, they stopped following him. Oh, Peter, yes, he came and stood in a distance, but he was so far away from the Lord Jesus that all of his courage was sopped up. And all the perspective that he had was, if I tell them that I'm following him, I'm going to end up in jail. I'm going to end up on a cross. And he missed out. He went away, wept bitterly, went and locked himself in a room. Get a hold of Jesus, church. And don't let go. Let his Holy Spirit come and live within you, which he promised to those who are redeemed. Why? Because he will give you a new and fresh perspective of where you can go and what you can do and what you can see in your life. He can change your finances. He can change your physical health. He can change your emotional state. He can minister to you in ways that you cannot even imagine. Give the Lord a chance. But I can tell you this. You cannot keep an earthly human perspective and know all the blessings of the Lord. You know, there was a happening. As soon as Jesus came down from that mountain, all the hallelujahs, all the hosannas, all the blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Scripture tells us that he went into the temple and did a temple cleansing. How many have read that? Turned over the money changers, drove out all the sheep and the goats that were being, my house shall be called a house of prayer, you have made it a den of thieves. Where were the disciples? There's no place in Scripture that it says they were in there clearing the temple with him. It was a sole action of Jesus. What am I getting at? You see, their limited perspective kept them from following through with him to one of the most important acts of redemption. Because, see, everything he did was a type of receiving him as Savior. His coming into Jerusalem is like him coming into our lives. And when he comes into our lives, he wants to do a house cleaning. Why? Because my house, we called a house of prayer. Perspective. Oh, Father in heaven, this morning, change our perspective. Help us to realize, oh Lord, that if we do not make an actual effort, that we will maintain and we will stay within the scope of our humanity and we will miss out on all the glory and the majesty and the things that you desire to do in our lives. I believe, Master, that there are people sitting in this room this morning that you want to change the course, change the direction of their lives. Help them, Lord, right now, by your Holy Spirit, help them to see that there is more life in you than there is in following their own human desires. If they will give you a chance, if they will open up their hearts to you, let you forgive them of your sins and become the master of their life. If they will allow you to change their perspective, you will give them the best life that they could possibly have and the promise of everlasting life in eternity. I pray for every person in this room this morning. As they are making judgments over their life, don't let us miss so great a salvation. As heads are bowed and eyes are closed, can I ask, is there anyone here this morning who would lift their hand and say, Pastor Bill, I want to know Jesus today. I want him to come into my heart and be the Savior of my life. I'm not going to embarrass you. I just want to pray for you. Pray with you if you give me the chance. But you would say, I need a change of perspective. I have an earthly perspective. I want to see what God can do with my life. Is there one in the balcony? You're on the main floor? Precious Lord. I wonder if there are believers here this morning. I'm not going to ask you to lift your hands, but I would just ask the question, are you living with a kingdom of God perspective or a kingdom of this world perspective? Are you limiting your capacity in God, or are you giving God an opportunity to expand what you know about Him and about His Word, about His love? Master. Father, I just pray this morning for those who are hearing the voice of your Holy Spirit that they need to give you a chance. You, Lord Jesus, said, greater things than these will you do in my name. And you healed the sick, you cast out demons, you raised the dead. I think your anticipation of all that we can do is greater than anything that we could expect. Help us, O Lord, as your children. Help us to let you give us a fresh perspective on this Palm Sunday. In Jesus' name. Praise you, Lord. Perspective is the interrelation in which a subject or its parts are mentally viewed. Will we be like the Jesus or the disciples or the crowd on Palm Sunday? Our capacity to understand, are we willing to let the Holy Spirit guide us into new and exciting things? Appearance limited to the eye. Can we see the eternal picture? What is God wanting to do with you today? That's really the question. Tie into Him, let Him change your perspective and know His blessings. Will you stand with me, please? These altars are open. Our elders are always here and ready to pray and minister to you. If you sense in your spirit that something needs to change, come. Before you go that way, come this way. Give us an opportunity to pray with you. Maybe God wants to do something spectacular in your life this morning. Can I say thank you very much? I know several of you came to be here for water baptism of some of these precious ones. Thank you for coming and sharing this day with them and with all of us. I hope you'll come back and see us again. Praise the Lord. Hosanna, Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Do me a favor, will you? I'd like for all of you for a moment, you can think about something besides what you're looking at, but smile. Come on, there we go. Now, give those away as you leave the house this morning. Changes your perspective altogether. May God bless you and thank you for being with us on this Palm Sunday. Amen.